1850 453 106 is our local.
Parenting on Moncrief, thanks to Five Rivers Fostering, recruiting and supporting foster parents and children. FiveRiversFostering.ie.
Call number, our text number is 53106. It'll cost you 30 cents. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter or send us an email to afternoon@newstalk.com. Just referring back to the piece that Jonathan de Burka Butler did. He's talking to people about coming out. Somebody on Twitter says, my late dad once told me, I honestly don't mind the gays. They're good business people. You can't get any higher tribute than that. Another great business person is David Carey. David, can I... I know, you could say the same about... The irony would still be as cruel if you said the same about me. Right, okay, David, of course, here for our parenting slot. First question is this, David. My son has Asperger's. He is 21, has never been able to make a friend. Where can he learn these skills? As he really wants to socialise, but doesn't know how. He met with psychologists before, but he wouldn't open up as he was in denial.
Well, this is a common problem amongst young people, with Asperger's syndrome. Some of them have better social skills. A lot of them don't. Some of them are quite happy living in their skin and don't really want or need friendships. Mm. Some do and struggle to make them, and some can't make them, and that causes a lot of difficulty. Good news is, if you reach out to aspire.ie, aspire.ie, there are several social meeting groups in the Dublin area, which anyone who's on the spectrum, up at the higher end there in the Asperger's end, can join. They meet sometimes in pubs in town. They have recreational outings. They have social events. They go bowling. They have sporting events, etc. That's what you need to direct your son to. It will be very helpful to him if he's able to go. He will meet like-minded people who are probably much like him, highly intelligent, good at conversation in their own idiosyncratic ways sometimes, but have difficulty with socialization skills and making friendships. And that's the solution here. Now, yeah. I don't know if he – does he know he's on the spectrum is an interesting question, because – some families don't tell the children or adolescents.
Right, okay.
And that leads them to be living in dissonance in the world they're embedded in and not understanding why it's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's very difficult.
Well, she says he was in denial, so perhaps we can infer from that he's not anymore.
Okay, let's hope so. And meeting with psychologists, well, you know, what your son needs is not therapy or counseling. He needs an opportunity to meet with other people that he can feel comfortable with and reveal his personality on his own time frame and in his own way. And it should work very well. So I would get onto the aspire.ie website, ring them up, in fact, and find out what's available. There's a lot of things out there that you don't know about yet. Now, he's 21. If he refuses and doesn't want to go, there's not a lot you can do, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It can be a lonely world, and it sounds like it is a lonely world for this young man. So he needs to be directed towards those events and people out there who are like him and who are living a good life. Because I know a number of young people that go to some of these social groups. There's one that takes place in town every Sunday in one of the pubs. And it's a very good group filled with a lot of people. And sometimes someone brings along a guitar and they have a bit of a sing-song and they have a lot of chat about anything that people would chat about. They enjoy a drink if they want one. It's very low-key, very friendly, no pressure ever to go outside of your comfort zone and be made to talk or introduce yourself. He could go along and remain fairly quiet for a good number of weeks and just kind of get the sense of what's happening there.
Okay.
And that's what I think is needed.
I am the mother of a wonderful six-year-old girl. Due to secondary infertility, she will be an only child. She really wants a sibling and tells people she has a brother and sister, Ray and Sorka. These are dolls. She also frequently tells people I'm pregnant, which is terribly embarrassing for them. I am looking for solid advice on raising an only child. The internet is full of people whose lives have been ruined by being a sibling. And she puts ruined in inverted commas. So I want to avoid any further searches. Any advice?
Well, you're speaking to an only child.
Didn't do you any harm.
Well, I don't know about that, but I don't think so. And I take a great exception to this word singleton.
That's a weird one.
I thought it was a play from our vocabulary. I don't know what the hell that is. And as for the internet full of people whose lives have been ruined by being a singleton, the internet is the greatest place in the world for our society's malcontents, grudge holders, complaint artists, and in general, nasty, negative people to vent their spleen. Get rid of all that nonsense. Why do you go looking for that stuff anyway? Why do people go looking for trouble?
Yeah, well, I suppose you can find help in some
places. You're raising an only child. If this is not a freakish event in the world to have an only child, what is the problem here? You've got a lovely six-year-old girl. She has so much love in her heart that she wants a little baby brother or sister. And you say it absolutely can't happen because of secondary infertility. If you never heard of adoption, if you want to go down that road. And if you don't, then she'll be an only child. Your responsibility is to love her, to cherish her, to let her play freely in this world, to explore the world around her, to help her feel valued. She's six. She has imaginary siblings that are really dolls. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
The human imagination at age six. And how we often expunge it so quickly by saying, stop daydreaming, particularly in the classroom, you know? Stop your daydreaming. Daydreaming should be scheduled as part of every lesson, as far as I'm concerned. So, A, you don't have a problem here. B, let's get rid of all this negativity once and for all. C, never use the word singleton in front of me. I do not like it. So I want to avoid any further searches. I don't know what that means now. You're going to search for more negativity on the internet. You'll always find it there.
Yeah.
Be wary. So she tells people you're pregnant and it's embarrassing. Well, just tell people you're not pregnant. What's the big deal here? I don't know. Am I making light of this?
No, well, I know. And I'm reading in, perhaps for the mother here, there is secondary infertility, and she perhaps is feeling guilty because she sees her little girl wants a brother or a sister, and she can't give her one.
Yeah, I mean, so what we're dealing with is a parent anxiety and a parent issue.
Yeah.
And maybe you want to get that looked at. I wonder what the partner has to say about all this, by the way, who isn't mentioned. Is there one, indeed? There is nothing innately harmful about being reared and raised as a only child.
Yeah.
We are sent to creches and preschools. Guess what happens? We are around a lot of other young children the same age.
Yeah, absolutely.
We spend all day long in primary school and in secondary school. We have friends. We learn social skills. Yes, we do learn how to shear, unless, of course, we're an overindulged and overgratified only child, which ruins children, not just only children, but any children.
Yeah.
So, assuming that isn't happening, there's no harm to be accrued from being an only child. Just be loved and cherished for what you are and where you are in this world. And put all your anxiety behind you, please, Mom. I'm sure you're doing a very good job rearing this lovely little girl who has so much love in her heart. She wants to say, we had a question like this not too long ago. I don't know if you recall. Mother, can't remember exactly what it was, but it was a little boy who wanted a sibling. And mother was extremely upset and annoyed because she said he was tormenting her or some such with his desires for a sibling. I think we need to recognize that some children have a lot of love in their heart and they want someone else to love and share it with. Okay, maybe you can't provide it.
Yeah.
But I don't think this little girl who's six is going to be harmed in any way by being reared as an only child.
Denise says, as an only child also, I've learned that friends can be like brothers and sisters, and that's as good as any biological sibling, which is, you're echoing similar.
Well said indeed. Hurrah.
My six-year-old daughter will not let any of her cuts and grazes heal. She picks her scabs so much that a cut will re-bleed and last for 6 months. Sometimes they get infected, become smelly, and then the healing process is that much longer. We've tried covering them, using reward charts, and even ignoring the picking. I'm all but ready to put mittens on her to stop her. It's a bad habit and dangerous, and if nothing else, it's really disgusting. Any ideas on what I should do?
Yeah, I think you need to contact a professional here because this is now straying into the area of health issues because she's picking so much that there's infections coming in. Now, this will cause scarring eventually. So depending on where the cuts are, it could result in some unsightly tissue damage in the long run.
Yeah.
There are some interventions for these kind of behaviors. It almost strays into the realm of trichotillomania because one symptom of trich is the picking and cutting at scabs incessantly. Now, this is going on and they last for months. That's far too long. Far too long. So I would suggest getting a referral to a psychologist or counselor who's skilled in various techniques, habit reversal, habit control. Hypnosis is sometimes very effective for young children, by the way. They are natural hypnotic subjects, fall easily into a trance. A lot of possible interventions here. Please don't leave it. I hope you've spoken to the GP about this, too. I've said this before, GPs are sometimes very good allies in talking to your children about things because they listen more to doctor sometimes than they do to parents. And maybe this little girl needs a little chat with the GP so she's informed about the dangers here. Now, we don't want to scare her either, but I wouldn't let this go, Sean.
Yeah.
You know, when we're talking about cuts that are getting infected and last for 6 months, we're into a whole different world of just picking at scabs.
Yeah.
All children pick at scabs. And usually the scabs heal quick enough and no scarring. But I'm worried about this girl. I'm worried about the possibility of scarring, repeated infections in the same local site. It's not a good thing. You know,
yeah.
You probably need to talk to GP if you haven't done that. I really think a referral to a psychologist who has some skills in dealing with these things. She's very young. So depending on her attention span, you may be dealing with 15, 20-minute sessions. Certainly, we don't usually see six-year-olds for an hour alone. But help is available. So please go ask for it.
Yeah. Just referring back to the first question we had about the young man with Asperger's, someone says, I think you'll find that people with Asperger's are not always happy in their own skin with regard to friends. Most want friendship, but simply don't know how, says Sinead, who's a mother of a teen with Asperger's. Well, I don't think David said that they're all happy in their own skin.
I certainly didn't say that.
I'm an only child, says Diana. I wouldn't have it any other way. Far too much rubbish about having to have siblings. Just make sure she has lots of friends. Which again echoes what other people were saying too. And someone says, because we were talking about daydreaming is taught. It's called mindfulness.
Oh, for God's sake, I hear that word one more time. I'm going to scream.
What did I know you were going to act that way? I don't think they are the same thing, actually.
You don't need to teach daydreaming.
Yeah.
The human brain has an innate capacity to go to wonderful and sometimes, unfortunately, unpleasant places in its imagination. We are wired that way. It is a natural propensity of almost all children, except those well entrenched on the spectrum. We call it in early childhood imaginative play.
Yeah.
My pencil is now a vaporizer, and I can make your head disappear off your body with it. Zzz. That's imaginative play. That's daydreaming. That's creating a world and things that do not exist. This is healthy.
Given that example, you must have been a scary child. Right? We have to take a break back in a couple of minutes. 53106 is our text number that will cost you 30 cents. David is still with us for our parenting slot. Next question is this. To help my 3.5-year-old sleep at night, we've allowed her on occasion to still use a soother. I know this is a bad habit, but we only turn to this when we're really at our wits' end. Now, after a dentist visit, we were told her teeth are being affected by this and it has to stop with no exceptions. This is going to cause her to have huge tantrums, anxiety and lack of sleep, and in turn it will cause the rest of the family the same. How do we help her stop using her soother? As we have enabled her for so long, it will be difficult to go in the complete opposite direction.
Well, let's take a look at this. After a dentist visit, we were told it has to stop with no exceptions. There's no need for commentary after that. You've been told what to do by a medical professional. It is now your responsibility to do it. Immediately, that very evening, you should have stopped. No excuses. Of course you'll have tantrums. They will eventually end. Will you have sleepless nights and be discomforted? Yes, you will. You now have a responsibility. Your child's teeth are being damaged.
Yeah.
You made a mistake.
Yeah.
Forgive yourself, number one, and do what you've been told to do. There's no point in talking to me about an easy way to do it. Just do it now.
Yeah, it's on occasion, so I assume it's not every night. And I suppose all they need is to come up with some strategy on the bad nights. This is what we do.
it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
But there won't be an endless number of bad nights.
Yeah.
So, okay.
This is a
The bullet.
Yeah, and yeah, that's maybe an unfortunate way to phrase it.
Given
Okay. I caught, this is a disturbing one, I caught my 12-year-old with a bottle of wine hidden in his room.
Oh.
Neither my husband nor I drink in the house. So to say this was a surprise is an understatement. We quizzed him on where he got it, and he finally said it was one of his friends who gave it to him in school to mind. I spoke to this friend's parents, who outright deny that their son would have done anything like this. Now my son tells me he's being isolated in school by this boy who has rallied the group of boys against him. He's miserable. I'm angry about the wine and he's being punished for that, but I never wanted this to affect his school life like this. I don't really know how to address this, as the other parents did not see this as their issue, and now my son is the one paying on all fronts.
Well, first of all, I don't buy into the thing that someone else gave it to him and he brought it home. That's a very handy excuse. Second, the real issue is, okay, let's assume that happened. Why did you do that? Why would you take a bottle of wine home and hide it in your room for a friend?
Mm.
What were you telling yourself in your mind that led you to believe that was the right thing to do and that you actually did it? So there are issues here with the son that are lingering, and I think more conversation with him is needed in the short term.
Yeah.
Now, we have, allegedly, according to Sun, issues of social exclusion being engineered by the other boy, who was confronted, no doubt, by his parents.
Yeah.
And probably in a not particularly friendly way. About what are you doing giving Johnny a bottle of wine to bring home, and where did you get it? And he cops the innocent plea, it wasn't me. And they believe him. And now we're in a big mess. So we don't want to play detective. What you need to do is the old TTT, talk to teacher. If, in fact, your boy is being socially excluded, that will be observed and noted in free play time in the classroom, on small break, and on big break.
Mm.
So let's make sure one of the educators is alerted to this issue and observes over a period of a week or two to see if it actually, in fact, is happening, to what extent, who's involved, and the school will intervene to put a stop to it. Almost all schools in this country are very good now and quite sophisticated at dealing with these issues once they are alerted to them. Social exclusion can be incredibly subtle.
Yeah,
particularly at second level, but also in primary school. And we cannot blame teachers for not noticing everything all of the time. But our teachers are highly skilled, particularly our primary teachers, in the art and technique of careful observation of children, because they are made to do that during their pre-service training of 4 years of education. They must go out on teaching practice and other kinds of settings and observe children. And they are instructed how to use checklists, observation rating scales, etc., all of which are available on the internet. Early childhood educators routinely use these things all the time in creches and preschools. We gather data. So let's investigate further, please, and find out if it's actually happening, who's involved, when is it happening, and I am completely confident the school will quickly put a stop to it. You do have an issue with your son. I don't know what in heck he's doing at age 12 with a half a bottle of wine in his room. I don't like his answer. Johnny gave it to me to bring home. Even if it's true, it raises grave issues about his own thinking skills in terms of what's right and what's wrong and what should I do and what shouldn't I do. And how is it no one noticed that he's wandering home with a bottle of wine in his knapsack? And how is it that no one noticed in school that there was a bottle of wine?
Mm.
I just don't get some of this, Sean.
Yeah. I mean, the fella he said he was minding it for, their parents outright deny their son would have done anything like this. Well, if they were in such a state where our little Johnny would never do, then Johnny had no reason to give it to his friend to mind, because they obviously weren't looking for bottles of wine in his room. So does either of that matter, though, anyway?
No. This is where you get into playing detective and you never find out the answer. Because some crimes can't be solved, and this probably is one of them. So I wouldn't go down the road looking for who gave it to him, etc. I would want to question him about what he was thinking when he took it.
Yeah.
And what was he thinking on the way home, and what was he thinking when he brought it up to his room and concealed it, And why was it there? And for how long was he going to keep it? There's a lot of follow-up questions here.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want you to ask them in anger or huge consternation. The deed is done. It's time to remain calm. But let's find out what's really going on inside this young person's head and do the rest in terms of dealing with the social exclusion at school. That can be easily resolved.
Yeah. Yeah,
hopefully.
Yeah, and hopefully it's just a 12-year-old doing dumb stuff, which is not a unique occurrence, I would imagine.
Any tips on helping an almost 3-year-old girl get over a new fear of bedtime, which is being left alone in bed? This is new since the dark evening started coming in. He has a new nightlight, but still very nervous. We usually have no problem leaving him alone in bed.
Well, I think this is time for story time and a little singing and gradually and slowly removing yourself from the room. Is the nightlight bright enough?
Mm.
You might want to ratchet it up a little bit. Some children are discomforted. I know adults who need a nightlife.
Yeah.
Nightlight, not because they're afraid of the dark, just because it comforts and soothes them to have that low-level lighting in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. You may have to increase the wattage of the light bulb itself or find another one and put two in, see if that doesn't work. You could solve the problem. It will just take a little time.
Yeah.
The 3-year-olds, you know, they get these little frights, and it is dark now early, and I don't know. Take a look in the room. Are there shadows playing on the windows and the blinds and whatnot? I was in my bedroom a couple of nights ago, and just looked out the window, and I said to myself, well, that shadow looks exactly like a person out there in a tree. And it was moving, you know, side by side. And I realized that if I was a little child, that would really unnerve me.
That'd scare the crap out of most adults, actually, now that you put it that way. Finally, we did get a text in from John, who says, why is it always little Johnny that does these things? Please leave me alone. We apologise to John and all the little Johnnies out there. David, thanks a million. Pleasure as always. David Carey there after that. Writing speeches for Obama.
Parenting on Moncrief, thanks to Five Rivers Fostering, recruiting and supporting foster parents and children. Five Rivers Fostering.ie